So our next guest is Dr. W. Grant Stevens. He is the CEO, CMO, and co-founder for the Orange Twist Institute, a medical spa in California. He is also a clinical professor of plastic surgery at the University of Southern California. Dr. Stevens is on the board of directors of the American Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, serving as the president-elect, and he is also the third vice president on the board of directors of the International Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgery. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Dr. Stevens. I'm so excited that you had the time for this.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's my pleasure. I would love if you could dive a little bit more into your career background, because I know you have so many accolades in your CV.
Well, you're very kind. I'm a board certified plastic surgeon. My offices are in the Los Angeles area, actually right by LAX in Marina Del Rey. I have Marina Plastic Surgery for 35 years and the Marina Med Spa. You mentioned Orange Twist. I was the co-founder there with Clint Carnell. We now have 17 Orange Twist stores throughout the primarily Southern California, but also Texas, Washington, Nevada, New Jersey, wow, a few other places. And those are sort of med spas, Dr. Light med spas. And then in my Marina med spa in Marina Del Rey, we have a number of aestheticians and PAs and so forth, and we do all sorts of non-surgical and minimally invasive aesthetic procedures.
Wow, that's really, really impressive. And I know that you've authored more than 90 articles and chapters on aesthetic plastic surgery. So I would love it if you could tell us a little bit about what you think about the current scene around skin health and skin care. I mean, what are some things that maybe pop out to you that as either, you know, misinformation or something that's being done right?
Well, these are very exciting times because a lot of this is now being driven by science and not marketing. Yeah. Historically, people had lotions and potions to make their skin look moist or glowy, but they didn't have active ingredients. We right. now have scientifically validated studies, prospective, sham-controlled, double-blind studies that have shown the effectiveness of various peptides that actually are penetrating the skin and changing the environment in the skin and deep to the skin and increasing collagen and elastin and right. also cleaning up the damaged collagen and elastin, believe it or not. And we have biopsies to prove this. In addition to topicals, though, we also have technologies that weren't available even 10 years ago, such as Vivace with right. microneedling and radio frequency that clearly stimulate the fibroblasts and the cells in the skin and beneath the skin to make more collagen and elastin and thereby tighten the skin and smooth the skin and even help with pigmentation. So yes, there's a lot of disinformation out there, but thankfully less so than there was. And we have a lot of money being put into prejuvenation as well as rejuvenation with the use of topicals as well as energy-based devices.
That's very interesting that you mentioned prejuvenation. Can you tell us a little bit about that concept?
Well, sure. Historically, you know, people would wait until they were kind of old and had wrinkles, and then they'd say, I want to look young again. And people yeah. were always looking for the fountain of youth. But basically, with the new technologies and the millennials coming through, the shift has been to, I don't want to get old, I mean, look old, and I'm going to take some steps right now in my 20s, in my 30s, to avoid some of the wrinkles, avoid some of the sun damage, the sunspots, and the various things that are associated with the look of an older face. And yeah. so I'm seeing a lot of 20 and 30 year olds coming in for what is generically called prejuvenation, including both neuromodulators, of which there are four on the market now. Though, of course, the 800-pound gorilla is Botox, but there's Xeomin, there's Desport, and there's Jeuveau. So there's four neuromodulators. Soon there's going to be a fifth, Daxi. So the 20 and 30-year-olds are using that, as well as fillers for various things like skeletal augmentation, lip augmentation, cheek augmentation, chin augmentation, and all sorts of things with fillers. Yeah. And also energy-based devices, as I mentioned earlier. And there's lighter lasers like Clear and Brilliant. And I mentioned Vivace a moment ago. So they're very approachable devices, even for the younger millennials.
Absolutely. And you know, that's very interesting that you went through that. And I'm wondering, because, you know, in terms of, you know, you've been in this field for so long, and I wonder, with the education aspect of new dermatologists and, you know, new people coming into this field of medicine, do you feel like there's maybe a disconnect, or maybe there's a piece of information missing in the training? But like, how do you feel about the training of dermatologists and medical practitioners?
I'm a plastic surgeon, but I certainly work with a lot of very qualified dermatologists and facial plastics and so forth. And we consider ourselves what's called the core. And I think the training has never been better. I chair my fellowship for the last 20 years, and I'm training two plastic surgeons a year for the last 20 years. And we now have the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery has 30 such fellowships. This is all after residency. So a doctor goes to med school for 4 years, and a plastic surgeon does 6 more years minimum of plastics. That's 10 years and 1 year of fellowship. That's 11 years to come out and start practice in this. And so I actually think the training is exceptional, much better than it was 20, 30 years ago.
Right. I love that. I'm glad that, you know, in terms of the medical side of things, we are progressing. And I often wonder how that translates into the consumer end of everything, because there's so much misinformation out there with skin health. And, you know, it's interesting to see that the doctors, you know, the doctor in the medical side of it knows so much, but the consumer side, there's still this missing gap of information. So do you have any insight onto like how we can fill that gap and really educate, you know, in layman terms, everybody out there?
Well, I think the most important thing is to have a trusted provider, either a derm or plastics or facial plastics or oculoplastics, that a person can go to and ask the questions. Now, of course, I'm not discouraging active research. Going to RealSelf, for instance, is a pretty good source of information. The various societies have information. I know the American Board of Plastic Surgery has a site within their site. You go to surgery.org, and there's something called the Smart Beauty Guide, or you can go to smartbeautyguide.com. And that information has been vetted by board certified, highly qualified plastic surgeons who participate in the surgical as well as medical field of aesthetics. And it's just for aesthetics. So again, smartbeautyguide.com or surgery.org.
Wow. I love that. I had no idea. I'm going to check that out.
Please do. Or you can go to my podcast, The Technology of Beauty. You can go to thetechnologyofbeauty.com and subscribe, and you can meet the movers and the shakers of the aesthetic business and also learn a lot about what you're asking me.
That's awesome. I will definitely check it out. One podcast host to another.
There you go. That's technologyofbeauty.com.
Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Stevens. It was so lovely talking to you. And I would love to actually invite you on for like an hour long session about something that you feel really strongly about in the field, in your special.